what the people here need to hear. I don't know what you want them to say, but I know that the Comforter does, and I know that the Holy Spirit wants to teach them. And Lord, I just ask that you'd help me to get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit minister to those who came this morning. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Okay, well, we read there 1 Peter chapter number 2, and I'd like you to just turn with me to the next chapter, chapter number 3, and look at verse 18. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 2 and chapter number 3 and verse 18. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 18. I'll read it again. It says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." The Bible commands us, as we see there in verse 18, to grow. And the Bible says, but grow in grace. And this is the part I want to focus in on this morning. It says, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God commands us to grow in the knowledge and to grow in our maturity as Christians in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now go back to 2 Peter chapter number 2, and that's where we read the text this morning, and we read the entire chapter there. And look at verse number 2. I'm really confusing you, aren't I? We just read in 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior." Go with me to 1 Peter chapter number 2, and look at verse number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 2. It should be pretty easy to find. 2 Peter is right after 1 Peter. But look at 1 Peter chapter number 2 and look at verse 2. The Bible says this, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." This morning I want to preach on this subject, and it's not a deep sermon at all. You know, it's not a real, like, we're attacking a heavy doctrine of the Bible. But I want to preach on the subject of personal Bible reading. You say, personal Bible reading. What is the purpose of you as an individual reading your Bible and what the Bible says in regards to you as a Christian reading your Bible? So point number one is this. Personal Bible reading is for knowledge and Christian growth. It's for knowledge and Christian growth. There in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 2, the Bible says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Bible says that we ought to desire the sincere milk of the Word, referring to the Bible, and it says, here's the purpose for that, that ye may grow thereby. And in 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 18, God commanded us, he said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever, and amen. So if God commands you to grow, if God says, hey, I want you to grow in grace and I want you to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, and you may ask, well, how do I grow? Well, he answered that in 1 Peter 2:2 when he said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. See, just like a newborn baby, if you've ever had a newborn baby before, you know that, you know, they grow based on, obviously, what they're eating. And a baby can't eat meat. You know, a baby can't have a steak or a hamburger. So they initially will have, you know, milk. They'll be nursed. And the Bible says that in the same way as a child will drink milk from his mother in order to receive the nourishment, in order to grow, he said in that same fashion, you as a new Christian or as a baby Christian should desire the sincere milk of the Word of God and get into the Bible so that you can grow as a like a baby does as well. Now go with me just real quickly to the book of Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. And you're gonna want to go towards the left in your New Testament, just a couple books. Hebrews chapter number 5 and look at verse number 12. Hebrews chapter number 5 and look at verse number 12. 1 Peter taught us that we ought to grow. And he said, here's how you ought to grow when you're a new Christian. Get into the Bible. He said, start reading the Bible. Start learning the Bible. He said, just like a newborn baby drinks milk so that they can grow. He said, in the same way, you ought to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. But look at Hebrews chapter number 5 and look at verse number 12. Paul now is kind of speaking on the same subject. And he says this in Hebrews 5:12. He says, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become, look what it says, verse 12, the last part of verse 12, it says, are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You say, well, I don't understand. What's going on? Peter said, hey, you ought to want milk from the Word of God. And now Paul is rebuking, he's saying, hey, look, you're become as such that have need of milk and not of strong meat. You say, well, what is that about? Well, the Bible refers to when you got saved, the Bible uses this term, being born again. In 1 Peter it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. When you got saved, the Bible says you got born into the family of God. Well, when you got born, you instantly became a spiritual baby. You were born into the family of God. You're a child. And God says when you first get saved, when you first get born again, when you first get brought into the family of God, God says, I want you to start taking from the milk of the Word of God. He said, I want you to start just reading it and start learning from it and start getting the basics from the Bible. Just like a baby will drink milk from his mother to start growing, he said, I want you to continue to drink, you know, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul, in Hebrews 5:12, is now talking to Christians who should be more mature. They should be older. And he says to them, he said that you are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Look at verse 13, Hebrews 5:13. He said, every one of you that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So what he's saying is, hey, as you grow as a Christian, he said you ought to get to the place where you're leaving those basic milk principles of the Word of God, and you're getting into, you're starting to chew into, you know, the strong meat of the Word of God. I mean, could you imagine? Imagine if, you know, let's say, you know, Brother Tony back there. You know, I like Brother Tony. He's a good guy, and he's a strong. Brother Tony said he's going to be 52 in May. If you look at him, he doesn't look 52. He looks young, huh? But Brother Tony back there, you know, he's a strong guy. He works welding mufflers, and he's telling me he's got to pick up these mufflers that weigh over 100 pounds, and he picks them up, you know, 8 hours a day, and he's talking about trying to get out of that type of business because it's getting too much. But, you know, he's a big guy. He's a strong guy, you know. Could you imagine if Brother Tony, if I said, Brother Tony, why don't you come back here, come over here, and we're gonna grab my son's high chair, and I'm going to sit you down on this high chair, and we're going to feed you lunch. And could you imagine if I take out a bottle of milk and I start feeding him lunch? I mean, that'd be kind of silly, wouldn't it? I mean, could you just imagine Brother Tony, or just a grown man, sitting up here, and I'm saying, hey, Brother Tony, I'm going to take you out to lunch, and I bring him a little bottle, and I bring him a bottle of milk. You say, well, that's silly. No, if I tell a grown man, hey, I'm going to take you out to lunch, where do you want to go? They're going to say, hey, I want a hamburger, I want a steak, you know, I want meat, I want to eat something. But the thing, you know, so it'd be silly for an adult to grab, you know, some of the Gerber baby food, you know, the mushed up carrots or mushed up peas and eat that for lunch. Or it'd be silly for someone to start drinking milk and say, well, I'm just going to drink this bottle. You know, once you start getting older, you know, once you start getting your teeth in, you're going to want to start feeding your children solids, and you're going to start feeding them, you know, introducing actual food to them, meat. And what Paul is saying, he's saying, see, some of you Christians, because here's the thing, he's saying some of you have been saved, some of you have been Christians for many years now, but he said when you should be digging into the meat of the Word of God, he said when you should start eating, you know, a steak from the Bible, when you should be eating, you know, hamburgers from the Bible, when you should be eating hot dogs from the Word of God and having a good meal from the Bible, he said, you're still like these children who are just drinking milk. And he said, hey, milk's a good thing when you're a baby. You know, you can't take my son Joel, who's a year and a half, and just feed him, you know, well, he's getting teeth, so you probably could. But, you know, you can't take a baby and just start, you know, give him a steak. Take him out to Black Angus, put a steak in front of him, and just expect him to eat it. No, they're going to have to eat something that's a little mushier. They're going to have to eat something that's a little milk. And milk is good when you're a baby. But what he's saying is, some of you need to start growing up in your maturity level. Now, here's the thing. You say, how do you grow as a Christian? See, Christian growth is not measured in time. You know, a child, as time, you know, as they get older, they'll start developing and they'll start, you know, becoming just an adult. But a Christian, you know, you could be a Christian and be saved for 30 years and be a spiritual baby. Or you could be saved for a year and start maturing, because here's what the growth is measured in. How much time you spend in this Bible. How much time you personally spend in the Word of God. When you get into the Bible and you read the Bible and you start, see, at first, when you start reading the Bible, you're going to get some real basic things out of it. And other people might look at you and say, man, that's kind of basic. You know, you start saying, man, I didn't know that about Jesus. You know, I talk to people outdoor soul winning, and they'll say things to me like, they didn't know Jesus was born of a virgin. You know, I'll tell them, did you know Jesus was born of a virgin? I said, I've never heard that before. And I think, man, that's crazy. That's something basic, isn't it? Or they'll say, you know, I've heard people didn't know that Jesus, you know, was God in the flesh. And a lot of people don't know that. You know, some people don't know that Jesus was sinless. We read there in the passage, it said that he never sinned. That there was no guile found in him. Some people don't know that. You know, so when you start off in your Christian journey, you start reading these things and you start getting some basic things about the Word of God. And there's some real simple things, but they're sweet to you because you're new. But as you get further in your Christian life, you ought to start being able to dig into the Bible and start reading, you know, the book of Leviticus, the book of Ezekiel, the book of, you know, Hebrews, and start reading the Bible and start learning and maturing. And what Paul was saying, he's saying, hey, the sad thing about these people is that we have a bunch of Christians who have been saved for a long time. They've been going to church for a long time. They've been, you know, part of Christianity for a long time, but they're still drinking milk. And he said, and here's why, because they're unskillful in the Word. In verse 14 he says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use. It says, by those that by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So you say, how do you get growth? How do you get maturity? How do you get stronger? By reason of use. How much do you use this Bible? How much do you get into this Bible? I mean, do you only read the Bible when you come to church on Sunday morning? Sunday night? Wednesday night? Or are you taking this Bible every day and trying to find something in it and trying to learn something from it and trying to get something in it and get nourishment from it and try to learn so that you can grow and your maturity and your Christianity can grow? Point number one was personal Bible reading for knowledge and Christian growth. God wants you to grow in the knowledge, and you're only going to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God as you get into the Word of God. Because, you know, church... You know, I'll preach on a Sunday morning for 45 minutes to an hour. I mean, do you think I can give you the entire Bible in a 45-minute to 60-minute sermon three times a week? You know, I'm going to try to give you as much of the Bible as I can. But you're going to have to just learn to get into the Word of God yourself. You can't be a grown man. You can't be a 25-year-old man or a 30-year-old man or a 50-year-old man and expect your mommy to come up beside you, you know, physically and feed you your lunch. You know, like my son, we'll take, you know, we sit him on his high chair. He starts eating something. A lot of times we've got to take the food and actually stick it in his mouth and make him eat it because he's a child. But when you become an adult, you're expected to pick up the fork, pick up the spoon, and eat your food, and pick up the knife and eat the food. You know, cut up the meat, chew it up, and eat it yourself. When you get older, you know, you say, that's such a basic illustration. But why is it that we have Christians who have been saved for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and they expect to come to church on Sunday morning and have the pastor open up the Word of God and say, here's your bottle, here's your Gerber baby food from the Word of God, and feed you and spoon feed you. You should be getting up every day and reading the Bible yourself, and learning the Bible yourself, and getting into the Word yourself, and get off the milk and get on the meat of the Word of God. Why? So you can grow. Then why do you want to grow? Because God commanded you to. God commanded you to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Go with me to Hosea chapter number 4. Hosea in the Old Testament. If you open up your Bible in the Old Testament, if you find the book of Isaiah, Isaiah is one of the big prophetic books in the Old Testament. You'll find Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, and then Hosea. Hosea chapter number 4. Look at verse 1. In Hosea chapter number 4, look at verse 1, Hosea 4:1 in the Old Testament. Hosea chapter number 4 and verse 1. The Bible says, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. The Bible says, God has an issue with the inhabitants of the land. He has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. See that? The Bible says that the Lord had a controversy with the inhabitants. And he said, one of the reasons I have an issue with these people is because he said there's no knowledge of God in the land. Look at verse 6. Drop down to verse 6 in Hosea chapter number 4. Hosea 4:6 says this, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also reject thee. For thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Look at verse 14 in the same chapter. He says, I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredoms, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people that doth not understand shall fall. See, God says, I've got an issue with these people in Hosea, that Hosea's talking to. He said, I got a controversy with them. He says, because there's no knowledge of God. He said, they are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And this is, and then God says this, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also reject thee. Say, do you want, you know, and obviously we're not talking about becoming a reprobate where God rejects you and condemns you to hell. But, you know, I don't want to live my life in a way where God says, hey, you've rejected my knowledge, so I'm just going to reject you. You know, and then later on in the passage, if you look at verse 6, he says, I will also reject thee. He says, thou shalt be no priest to me. And this is very interesting to me. He says, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Say, what is that about? Well, many times in the Bible, the law is a word that the Bible refers to itself. The word of God is the law of God. And he says, look, you've forgotten the law, I'm going to forget your children. You say, well, what's the connection there? Well, here's the connection. I don't have time to get into it. If you have a question about it, I can explain to you after the service. But in John chapter number 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Later on in the passage it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ, who became flesh, is the Word of God. The Bible says that God Himself is the Word. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I'm not saying that God is this book, okay? You know, I'm not saying that God is the binding, or God is the paper, or God is the ink. But the Bible teaches this, and you've got to just accept it by faith, that God, that the words of God, the words found in this Bible, I'm not talking about the paper, I'm not talking about the binding, I'm not talking about the leather, but the actual words are God. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible says that the Word was God. And then it says that the Word became flesh. Now, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Jesus Christ is the Word. Jesus is a child of God. Now obviously we have, you know, we become adopted children of God when we got born again. But Jesus, the Bible says, He's the only begotten Son of God. He's the child of God. So this is what God says in Hosea 4:6. He says, seeing thou hast forgotten the law. What is He saying? He's saying, since you forgot my word, who's my child, who's my son. He says, since thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. Here's what He says. I will also forget thy children. He said, you forget my son, I'll forget your son. He said, you forget my child, I'll forget your child. He said, you forget my law, which is my word, which is my son, which is Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going to forget about your son, and I'm going to forget about your children. He said, you reject my knowledge, and I'm going to reject you. He said, I have a controversy. He said, I have an issue. He said, I've got a problem with these people because they have no knowledge of God. And I want to ask you this question this morning. How much knowledge of God do you have? You say, well, I know of God. No, but really, you know, and obviously we're not going to do this, but if we were to take a test on the knowledge of God, I mean just on the knowledge of the Bible, on what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches and the doctrines that it has, would you be able to do well? Say, well, maybe not. Why? The average American wouldn't be able to do well. You know why? Because they're not in the Word of God. Because they're not reading the Bible. See, the average American is spending, you know, 4 to 5 hours watching television every night and not reading the Word of God. The average American is spending time at the bar. The average American is spending time, you know, playing video games. The average American is spending time doing frivolous things that mean nothing, that have no value in eternity's sake, and we leave the Word of God behind. And God says, hey, because you've rejected my knowledge, He said, I'm going to reject you. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Would you look around at America this morning and say, man, this is just a great nation? Now look, America's a great nation. I love America. You know, and obviously, you know, we're just talking before the service about, you know, the military and all that. I'm in the military and I love America and all of that. But look, America's not the nation it once was. I mean, look at America in the just compared to the rest of the nations. You know, there was a time when the economy of America was the strongest in the world. Not anymore. Look at our economy. Look at our GDP compared to other nations. We're not the powerhouse that we used to be. And I've got a feeling that when God, because the Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons. So when God was looking down at the Israelites and saying, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, I've got a feeling that God is looking down from heaven at the United States of America and saying, these Christians, these Americans, these people who are born again, who have accepted Christ as their Savior, who live in this country, that they're destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, is what he says. Go with me to John chapter number 15. in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, John chapter number 15. Look at verse 5. John 15, 5. John 15 in verse 5. These are words that Jesus said. If you're looking at John 15, 5, if you've got a Bible that's a red letter edition, you'll find these words to be red because these are actually words that came out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said this, John 15, 5. Look what he said. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Now you got to understand the analogy that Jesus is using here. He says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. The way we could think of that is think of a tree. He's pretty much saying, you know, if you look at the branches of a tree, he said, I would be the trunk and you would be the branches. And he says in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. And he's giving the analogy of a branch. Think of a tree. You know, think of an apple tree. And think of a tree that's got, you know, an apple tree that has a branch coming from the trunk. But, you know, what if something were to happen to that branch and the branch were to kind of, you know, I've seen trees before where the branch is breaking off. You know, if you've ever driven up to like Ferndale or, you know, real up north in California, if you go look at the redwoods, you know, up in Northern California. I know we're in Northern California, but I'm talking about the real Northern California. You know, and you go up and see those trees. A lot of times you'll see these trees on the freeway that branches are just falling off, you know, trees are just coming down. And a lot of times what happens is they'll have storms or they'll have lightning or something like that, and these branches will get cut off. You know what I'm talking about? There'll be a branch that'll have like a crack where it's kind of still connected to the trunk, but it's not really connected to it. It's just kind of cracked off. And what happens is when that branch is not connected to the trunk, it's not receiving the nourishment or the strength from that trunk. And what happens is that branch, and you know, with these huge redwoods, a branch could be a huge limb, you know? And what will happen is these branches are cut off and they'll start dying. They'll start rotting because they're not getting the nourishment from the trunk, and they'll just fall off and die. And that's what Jesus is saying in verse 6. He says, if a man abide not in me, because he says, I am the vine, here are the branches. He says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Look at verse 7. He said, well, how do I abide in Jesus? How can I make sure that me, the branch, is connected to that vine so I don't become withered, so I don't get cast forth, so I don't die? Look at verse 7. He says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You say, well, how do you abide in Jesus Christ? If my words abide in you. You got to get in the book. You got to get in the Word of God. See, we've got many Christians who say, you know, I talk to people all the time. They'll say, my life is falling apart. I feel like I'm dying. I feel like my life is just withering away. I feel like God isn't helping me. I feel like God isn't strengthening me. I feel like God isn't giving me the nourishment that I need. I feel like my life is just, I look out the window, it's just dark. I feel like everything is just going wrong, and I'm not getting the strength that I need. I'm not getting the help that I need. I feel like I'm just not getting the nourishment from God. And many times, here's the problem. You're not in the Word of God. You're not reading the Bible. You're not learning from God. You're not abiding in Christ. And here's what you say, well, no, I'm abiding in Christ because I listen to worship music. I go to church. Abiding in Christ is reading your Bible. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. But many Christians are spiritual babies. Many Christians are spiritually withered. Many Christians are spiritually dead because they're not doing this real basic thing I'm trying to teach you right now, is to get in your Bible, read your Bible. Learn the Bible. Grow in grace and in the knowledge and mature and strengthen yourself and be plugged into Jesus Christ. Abide in Him, because that's the only way you're going to get the nourishment that you need to make it through life. Go with me to Psalm chapter number 1 or Psalm 1 in the Old Testament. If you open your Bible smack down in the middle, you'll probably fall in the book of Psalm. And look at Psalms 1. Psalm 1. Look what it says. Psalm 1:1 says this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And look what God says. If your delight is in the law of the Lord, And in his law you meditate day and night. Look at verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know what that means? That means a strong tree. That means a tree that's getting his nourishment. That means a tree that's getting his strength. He said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And look, it matches up perfectly with John 15. He says, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. In John 15:5, you don't have to read it, I'll read it for you, but it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Isn't it wonderful how the Bible just matches up perfectly? But in Psalm 1:3 he says, and ye shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, many people say, I want God to favor me. I want God to bless me. I want God to prosper me. I want God to help me. I want God to do something for me. But here's the thing, God can't help you, and God can't prosper you, and God can't make sure that you're strong if you don't get in this book right here. Say, can you teach me a deep doctrine? Here, look, before I can teach you any deep doctrines, why don't you just learn to read your Bible every day? And that way you can read the Bible and you can learn your doctrines and you get off the milk, stop being a spiritual baby, and grow up in your Christian life and get in the Word of God. He said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. That's the type of life I want to live. I want to live the type of life where people just look at my life, or I look at my life, and they say, man, I don't know what he's doing, but it just seems like God likes him. It seems like God is strengthening him. It seems like God is nourishing him. It seems like God is prospering him. It seems like he's just getting strength from somewhere. How can he make it through life like that? You know, people go through issues, and we all go through issues. You know, we talked about this before. We don't all go through the same issues, and maybe your issues may be a little harder than my issues, or my issues may be harder than your issues at times, but we all go through marital problems. We all go through health issues. We all go through financial struggles. We all go through something in our lives, but here's the difference. Because there's two types of Christians. You know, just remember this. There's two types of Christians in the world. Those who read their Bibles and those who don't. And those usually who fall away when times get tough, when times get tough, when the storm comes, is because they don't have the strength from the Word of God. The Bible says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See, the Word of God gives you strength. It keeps you from being weak. It helps you bear fruit. It helps you see people saved. God will bless you. God will prosper you. God will, you know, when we say prosper, I'm not saying he's going to make you a millionaire. But I'm saying he's going to help you. You're going to find favor with God. But you got to get in the Word. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew, very first book in the New Testament. Look at Matthew chapter number 4. I understand the sermon is not very deep this morning. But it's something we need. We need to get into the Word of God. Matthew chapter number 4. Many times in the Bible, the Word of God is likened to food. We saw in 1 Peter chapter number 2, verses 2 to 3, that it referred to the Word of God as milk. In Hebrews chapter 5, we saw that it referred to the Word of God as milk and as strong meat. Look at Matthew chapter number 4 and look at verse 3. Matthew chapter number 4 and look at verse 3. The Bible says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written. This is what Jesus said to the devil when he tempted him. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse 4, Jesus was quoting the Old Testament. Because if you notice, when he starts talking, he says, it is written. And we won't look at it, but in the rest of this chapter, three times he's tempted by Satan. And three times he defends himself against the temptation of Satan by saying, he starts out by saying this, it is written. You say, well, how did Jesus know that that was written? Because he read it. You say, well, no, because he was God. No, no, Jesus knew it because he read it. When Jesus was on earth, he learned just like we learn. He read the Bible just like we read the Bible. You say, well, what was Jesus doing as a child? I'm sure he was reading the Bible. I'm sure he had Mary and Joseph who were teaching him the Word of God. But anyway, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 8. I want to show you the passage that Jesus was quoting. And look at Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. And look at verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. And look at verse number 3. Jesus is quoting when he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." He was quoting the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, and look at verse 3. The Bible says, "And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Now you got to understand the story. If you remember in the Old Testament, God sent Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And as they're walking in the wilderness for 40 years, because they refused to go into the land of Canaan, God feeds them with manna from heaven. If you remember the story, God every day would bring manna down. It would rain manna, which was a type of bread, and they would go out and they'd pick up the manna. Now, there were certain rules that God had for this manna. He said, when the manna falls on the earth, he said, "I want you to pick up enough manna for you to eat for that day." And he said, "I don't want you to grab enough manna for 2 days or 3 days." He said, "Just pick up what you need to eat that day." And he said, "And the next day, when it falls again, pick up what you need for that day. And the next day, pick up what you need for that day." Said, "Just pick up what you need to eat to get you through that day, and every day I'm going to provide manna for you." Now the Bible says that some of them were disobedient, and they decided they were going to grab enough food for that day and for the next day. And the Bible says that the extra food that they picked up, God would make sure that it became rotten, it got worms, it stank, because God didn't want them to pick up enough food to last them a week. He wanted them to pick up enough food for today. And the only time they were allowed to pick up enough food for 2 days was on, the day before the Sabbath, because the Sabbath they weren't supposed to go out and pick up, they weren't supposed to do any work. So on that day they were allowed to pick up enough food for that day and the Sabbath day. But other than that, they were supposed to go out every day and pick up the manna, what they needed for that day. And if you look at verse 3, it says, "And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know." And look what it says. Don't miss this. He says that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. So he said the reason that God fed you with physical manna, actual bread that fell from heaven, that they would pick up and they would eat every day. He said the reason he did that for you is that he would teach you that man does not live by bread alone. Because see, God was trying to teach him something. Because manna is likened unto the Word of God. The Word of God represents the manna in our life. And God was trying to teach him, hey, in the same way that you go out and you pick up physical bread to eat every day, he said, I want you to go out and pick up the Word of God and eat from it every day. Don't read, five chapters or 10 chapters or an entire book in the Bible and say, oh, I'm good for the week. God says, I want you to go out every day, pick up the Bible and read it. He said, I want you to go out today, I want you to go out tomorrow, I don't want you to pick up enough and make it last a few days. He said, just go out and feed from the Word of God. He said, that's what the point of the manna was. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now here's the thing. We eat every day. If I were to tell you to raise your hand and say, who was too busy to eat? And you know what? There might be some of you who say, you know what? I did not eat breakfast this morning because I was too busy to eat. But if I ask this, I'm positive nobody would raise their hand. If I said, who has not ate in the last 3 days? Because they've just been so busy. I mean, you've been working, you've been, doing stuff around the house, you haven't found time to sit down in the last 3 days to eat something. Who would say, I've had a week like that? I mean, would anybody say, I've had a week where I was so busy, I didn't eat for 3 days. I was so busy, I didn't eat for 7 days. I was so busy, I didn't have time to eat for 2 weeks, so I was just so busy this one time. I mean, nobody would say that. I mean, you say, that's ridiculous. Say, I mean, we make time to eat. Why? Because it's important to us. But yet as Christians, we'll go 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 7 days, without ever opening up this book, without ever coming to yourself spiritual and grabbing some spiritual food and grabbing some spiritual manna and eating from it. And you're starving your spiritual man. And you're wondering why it seems like your life is defeated. You're wondering why it seems like your life is withered. You're wondering why it seems like God is not helping. You're wondering why it seems like I just cannot find the strength to make it through life. And here's the thing. You're not eating. You're not eating. If somebody said, I haven't ate for the last 3 weeks, I'd say you need to eat something. You're gonna become weak. You're going to die. And many of us are starving spiritually because we haven't figured out how to stop being fed by the pastor or stop being fed by the preacher and start getting into the Bible ourselves and eating every day. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You've got to eat to be nourished. You've got to eat to grow. You've got to eat to have strength, physically and spiritually. And if you go 2 or 3 or 4 days without reading the Bible, you know, shame on you. And shame on us, because we're destroyed for lack of knowledge. We're destroyed because we're not growing. We're destroyed because we're weak. We're anemic because we're not in the Word of God. Go with me to Acts chapter number 17. Let me give you another reason why you should be reading your Bible every day. Acts chapter number 17. Look at verse number 10. Acts chapter number 17 and verse 10. The Bible says this. Acts 17:10. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter number 17 and verse 10. The Bible says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming hither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And look what it says, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. See, the Bible says that these people in Berea, they were more noble than those of Thessalonica. And he said the reason they were more noble, he said the reason they were better Christians, is because when Paul preached the Bible to them, they didn't just accept it. The Bible says they searched the scriptures daily to see if what he was saying was true. Now look, Paul was probably the greatest preacher who has ever lived, other than Jesus Christ. I mean, without a doubt. And the Bible says that when Paul preached, they just said, well, let's see if that's true. And they get into the Bible. You know, and the reason people, you know, you say, why are we destroyed for lack of knowledge? And here's why. Because people don't read the Bible. You know, I was out soul winning yesterday. I think it was yesterday. I mean, I was out soul winning yesterday, but I was talking to this lady. And I knocked on her door, and she said, you know, I said, oh, do you know for sure if that's a, could you go to heaven? She said, I'm studying with the Jehovah's Witness. And I said, oh, really? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, do you know for sure if that day you go to heaven? And she said, or do you, I said, do you know for sure if that day would you go to heaven or hell? Or are you not sure? Maybe you never thought about it. And she said, well, here's the thing. I don't really think that hell is a place where God sends people for eternity. And I said, oh, well, have you ever seen what the Bible says in regards to that? And she said, well, you know, I've been studying with the Jehovah's Witness and they taught me things from the Bible. And I said, well, would you mind if I showed you something from the Bible? And she said, yeah, that's fine. And I took her to the book of Revelation. And I showed her, you know, where the Bible says that there's a lake of fire and brimstone, you know, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever, is what the Bible says. And I said, you know, it says there that they'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. And she said, well, you know, I don't know. And I said, well, is that not enough proof to you? One verse? And she's like, well, you know, it's one verse. I don't really know. I've been studying them for a year. And I said, well, let me show you another verse. I'm not even joking. I read her 3 chapters out of the book of Revelation in its context. And I showed her how, you know, and I won't go into it, but I showed her how the beast and the false prophet worked for 2 human beings, the Antichrist and his false prophet, were cast into the lake of fire, the Bible says, at the Battle of Armageddon. And I apologize if I'm getting too deep. But they were cast into the lake of fire at the Battle of Armageddon and then started the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. The devil was, you know, he was bound up and cast into the bottomless pit. 1,000 years later, the devil was loosed from his prison. And then the Bible says that God took the devil, because he tried to fight against him one last time. He took the devil and he cast him into the lake of fire. And the Bible says this, where the beast and the false prophet are. And I showed her, I said, look, we just read 3 chapters. I said, when did the beast and the false prophet get cast into the lake of fire? She said, at the beginning of the millennial reign. She said, when did the devil get cast into the lake of fire? Said, at the end of millennial reign. I said, how long does the millennial reign last for? 1,000 years. And I said, so why is it that 1,000 years later, when Satan gets cast into the lake of fire, the Bible says that the beast and the false prophet are still there, they're still tormented, they're still in fire, they're still conscious, they're still existing in this place. If it's true that, you know, the lake of fire is somewhere where we go and just disappear. Because this is what they believe. They believe you go to the lake of fire and you just disappear. You quit existing. And she's like, well, I've never seen that before. And he said, well, and this is what she said. And I'm not picking on the Jehovah's Witness. I'm just, this is who I was talking to. And he said, well, we think that there's 100, you know, we believe that there's 144,000 that are going to go to heaven, and then the rest of us are going to live on earth. And I said, oh, really? Well, can I show you something from the Bible? And she said, sure. I took her to Revelation chapter number 7. I took her to Revelation chapter number 7 and Revelation chapter number 14. I showed her the 144,000 are 144,000 Jews. And I said, the Bible is very clear about that because it tells us 12,000 came from the tribe of Judah. And 12,000 came from the tribe of Manasseh. Or 12,000 came from the tribe, you know, it at least lists the 12 tribes. And 12,000 Jews came from the tribe of Judah. I showed her in Isaiah and in Revelation 14 where it says that the 144,000 are all males. They're all virgins. It says that they're virgins. It says that they're males. It says that they're Jews. And I said, let me ask you something. Are you a male? No. Are you a virgin? No. I see your babies here. I said, are you a Jew? No. You're not part of the 144,000. Well, I've never seen that before. I said, I know you've never seen that before. She said, well, and I said, let me ask you this. Do you believe that Jesus is Jehovah God? She said, no. Jesus is not God. I said, oh, really? I said, let me show you in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse 7, where it says there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And she said, well, the Catholics believe that. And I said, look, I just read to you a verse from the Bible. You know, she's trying to disqualify. She said, well, that's what the Catholics believe. I was like, look, that's what the Bible says. I said, do you know who the Word is? She said, yeah, I know who the Word is. It's Jesus Christ. And I said, well, the Bible says the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. I said, you know what the word is? I took her to John 1:1, the verse I was quoting for you earlier. And I showed her where it said, the word was made flesh, and the word was with God, and the word was God. I took her, and she said, well, how is Jesus the Son of God? And, you know, she said, you're saying that he's the Father and the Son. And I said, she said, I don't understand that. I said, look, I don't understand either. I said, but you know, Jesus said, and I took her to passages where Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I took her to passages where it says, Jesus said, I am the beginning and the ending. I took her to passages where it said, Jesus said, I am the first and the last. I took her to passages where Jesus Christ said, I am the root and the offspring of David. I said, you know, do you understand what he's saying? And I said, Jesus using the analogy of a tree. And he's saying, I said, think of an apple tree. Jesus saying, I'm not only the root of the apple tree. He said, I'm also the apple produced by the apple tree. He said, do you understand that? I said, he's the Father and the Son. Well, how is he the root and the offspring? I said, how is he the Alpha and the Omega? How is he the beginning and the end? I took her to John chapter to the book of John where Jesus said, go to it with me so you can see what I'm talking about. Go to John chapter number. Let's see if I can find it real quick. John chapter number. Where was it? John chapter number 8. Look at verse 24. John chapter number 8 and verse 24. I asked her, do you believe that Jesus is the Savior? She said, yes. I said, okay, well look at John chapter number 8 and verse 24. I said, look at what Jesus said. He said, I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. So Jesus Christ said, if you do not believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. And I said, let me show you something. Keep your finger in John chapter number 8 and verse 24 and go with me to Isaiah chapter number 43 and verse 10. And she said, okay. So I took her to Isaiah 43:10, and look at what the Bible says. Isaiah 43:10. This is what God said. He said, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Now I said, now do you see there when he said, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord? I said, do you agree that that's Jehovah God? She said, yes, I agree that that's Jehovah God. I said, do you see how God said, I am He? And then I said, and look what he says, colon, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. And I said, look at verse 11. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I said, isn't it interesting that Jesus Christ said, if you do not believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins? And in Isaiah 43:10, the Bible says that the Lord said, I am He. Beside me there is no God form. Beside me there is no other Savior. I said, let me ask you this. If Jesus is the Savior, why did the Lord say that beside Him there was no other Savior? She said, I don't know. I said, let me tell you why He said that. Because Jesus is Jehovah God. She said, I've never read that before. I said, let me show you in Matthew chapter number 1, where it said, and thou shalt name, call Him, and it said, the angel said that you were supposed to name Jesus Emmanuel. And it said, being interpreted, God with us. I said, why would they name Jesus God with us if He wasn't God in the flesh? I went to Philippians and I showed her where it said, you know, that Jesus thought it not robbery to make Himself equal with God. I said, why wasn't it wrong for Jesus to make Himself equal with God? Well, let me answer that question for you, because He was God. And I showed her like 12 passages from the Bible. And this is what she said to me. This is literally what she said to me. And I quote, she said, no matter what you show me, I won't believe it. I'm not even joking. I came home, I told my wife, I said, I cannot believe I just had this conversation. I said, I showed her 12 passages from the Bible. And he said, that's not what the Jehovah's Witness have taught me. And I said, look, the Jehovah's Witness have not taught you to read this word. The Jehovah's Witness have not taught you to read the Bible. You know, the Bible says that people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And unfortunately, that lady is going to die and go to hell. You say, how can you say she's going to die and go to hell? I didn't say it. Jesus did. He said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He. Did she believe that Jesus was He? Jehovah God? No, she didn't. And Jesus said, if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. And I'm telling you, Jehovah's Witnesses are dying and going to hell by the millions. And Mormons are dying and going to hell by the millions. And all these false religions are dying and going to hell. Why? Why are they destroyed? For lack of knowledge. Why are they destroyed? Because they don't know this book. They don't know the Bible. And the sad thing is, we as Baptists don't know it either. We shy away from the Jehovah's Witness when they come to our door. We shy away from the Mormons when they come to our door. We shy away from all these false religions. And we don't know how to answer them. We don't know what to tell them. We don't know how to preach the gospel. Why? Because we're not in the Bible. That's why he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's why he said, I have a controversy with these people. Because they have no knowledge of God. And I want to ask you something. Verity Baptist Church, do you have any idea what this book says? And if you don't, why don't you read it? Why don't you learn it? Why don't you get into it? Why don't you decide, hey, I'm going to abide in Christ. I'm going to get my nourishment from Christ. I'm going to get strength from Christ. I'm going to eat bread every day, spiritual manna. Why don't you decide, hey, I'm going to turn off the television. I'm going to turn off the radio. I'm going to put the video games away. I'm going to turn off the computer. And I'm just going to get in this Bible. Because it's destroying your life. Why are 50% of Christians getting divorced? Why are people not preaching the gospel? Why do we only have a small block of that map, you know, highlighted? And look, that's you say, what is the map? The map is us trying to knock on every door in Sacramento. And that little square there, that's a lot of work. That's like 6 months worth of work. 20 hours a week out of soul winning, 6 months worth of work. But you know what? It should be a lot bigger than that. Because we should just have hundreds of Christians out soul winning, producing fruit. That's what he said, didn't he? He said, when you abide in me, he said, thou shalt bring forth much fruit. That's what Psalm said. He said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth, you know, I'm misquoting, but he says, in due season bringeth forth much fruit. We should have Christians out knocking on doors, bringing forth fruit. But you know why we don't have people out soul winning? You know why we don't have Christians out bringing forth fruit? You know why we don't have Christians? You say, well, it's because I don't have enough time. It's because I work. It's because, no, here's the true answer. Here's the real answer. Because you're not abiding in Christ. Because if you knew what the Bible said, if you knew what the Word of God said, if you had something in your head to go tell somebody, you tell them. Because the Bible says, I can only speak those things which I have seen and heard. And if you've seen and heard this Bible, that's what you'd be talking about. But all you've seen and heard is sports, movies, and that's why all you talk about is sports, movies. Hey, Pastor Jimenez, are you mad? I'm not mad. I'm just trying to get you to grow. I don't want to, you know, be hanging out with a bunch of babies spiritually. And look, I'm not saying I'm mature either. I'm saying we need to decide to get in the Bible. We need to decide to feed ourselves and get in the Word of God and learn. Because people are dying and go to hell because they do not read this book. They don't know what the Bible says, and they're being deceived. And that's what Acts 17:10, he said, these were more noble than those. He said, because they search the Scriptures daily. Hey, don't take my word for it. Just because I preach the sermon, don't take my word for it. Read the Bible, open up to it, read it in its context, and make sure that what I'm preaching to you is right. The Bible says they searched the scriptures daily. Let me give you some practical applications. You say, how am I going to get in the Bible? Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. We're almost done. Look, I've been preaching for like 30 minutes. So, we're doing good on time. But go with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and look at verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and look at verse 13. Look at what God says. He says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. God says, give attendance to reading. That word attendance, he says, he's saying give it attention. He said, I want you to give attention to this area of your life. Reading, exhortation, that's preaching, doctrine, that's teaching. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read this verse for you. Revelation chapter number 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, blessed is the man that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Go with me to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. You're going to want to just turn to the left if you're in 1 Timothy. Go past Thessalonians and you'll be in Colossians. Colossians chapter number 1, look at verse 8. Let me give you some practical ways to read the Bible. Number 1, you've got to decide to read the Bible. You just got to make a decision in your life. I'm going to read the Bible. If you've never read the Bible cover to cover, just decide in the year of 2011, I'm going to read my Bible cover to cover. You say, I've already read it cover to cover. Then decide to read it again. Decide to read it twice this year. Decide to read it 3 times this year. Decide to get in the Word of God. Just make a decision. You're not going to do it unless you choose to. Okay, you say, okay, I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to get in the Bible. Let me give you some practical things to help you. Two things that will help you. Number 1, do it first thing in the morning. First thing in the morning. Are you there in Colossians chapter number 1? Look at verse 18. Colossians chapter number 1, look at verse 18. The Bible says this. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the first born from the dead. And look what it says. That in all things he might have the preeminence. The Bible says, in all things he might have the preeminence. Talking about Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in all things Jesus Christ should come first. And you know what we ought to do? You know what would help you? Just make this. Just decide to do this in your life. I am not going to eat physically until I ate spiritually. That's a good way to do it. Just make a choice. Say, you know what? I'm not going to eat physical food until I've sat down and ate spiritual food. And let me tell you something. You'll find time to read the Bible. Because you're not going to go 2 or 3 days without eating. Just decide to do it first thing in the morning. When you wake up in the morning, you decide, I'm going to read the Bible. And here's a tendency, and I've struggled with this. Here's a tendency. When you're on a schedule, you know, you got to get up and go to work. You know, you get in a schedule, you read your Bible. But here's what happens on your day off. Most people will decide, well, I don't have to do it first thing in the morning because I've got the entire day. So I'll just find time to do it in the day. But here's the thing is, if you don't do it first thing in the morning, you get busy and you start doing other things. You go off to the store, you're running errands, and before you know it, you're getting ready for bed and you realize, man, I haven't even read the Bible today. So just do it first thing in the morning. And all things that he might have the preeminence. Just decide, first thing in the morning, I'm going to read the Bible, and already have decided where you're going to read, where you're going to go. If you need a Bible reading schedule, we have them in the back. Grab one, they're free, it'll help you keep track, read the Bible. But number 2, read the Bible with your family. Read the Bible with your family. Go with me to Proverbs, chapter number 22. We're almost done, I promise. I have not been preaching for 30 minutes. I've been preaching for longer than that. Go with me to Proverbs 22. Look at these verses. Proverbs 22. Look at verse 6. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know what God commands you? And I'm talking to the people with children now, and I'm talking to the man. If you've got a spouse, you know, if you've got a wife, and you have children, I'm talking to you. Because, you know, we're talking about kids right now, but the Bible says that you're the spiritual head of your house as a man. And it's your job to be teaching the Word of God to your wife and to your children. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. You know, the average father, and I'm burdened about this myself with my kids. God commanded us, God commanded me, He gave me two kids, and He commanded me to train them. And I'm wondering how much training is going on in our houses. And I would wager to say that not much. Because when God, you know, training means to teach them something. Training means to instruct them in something. Training is to show them something. And most of us have this attitude where we have children and we think we're just supposed to live with them. Like, we're just supposed to live with them and make sure they eat until they're 18, then they can leave. God says, no, I want you to train them. He said, I want you to be teaching them. He said, and look, as a family, you ought to decide, dad, that you're going to take your kids every night, maybe before you go to bed, in the morning, when you wake up, whenever you decide to, just decide, hey, every day, I'm going to read the Bible, and I'm going to teach the Bible to my children and my kids, because God said, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he should not depart from it. You don't have to turn there. I'll read this verse for you. Deuteronomy 6:6 says this, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine head, hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. God commands you to teach the Bible to your kids. And to your family. What are we teaching our families? What are we teaching our kids? Are we teaching them to be lazy? Are we teaching them to love television? Are we teaching them to love video games? Are we teaching them to love movies? Are we teaching them to love sleep? Are we teaching them to love anything, you know, this world? Are we teaching them to love sports? Are we teaching them to love, you know, just the things of this world? Are we teaching them to love money? Are we teaching them to love, you know, material goods? Are we teaching them to love boating or camping? And look, you know, boating, that's not bad. But are we teaching them the Bible? Are you making time to teach the Bible and train your kids? Because if you're not doing it, you're wasting your life. What were we talking about before the service? Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Get in the Bible. Say, Pastor Jimenez, what's the challenge for this morning? Here's a challenge. Read your Bible. Every day. Make time. Give God the preeminence. Because look, one day somebody's going to come along and tell you, I'd like to teach you. Let me show you this magazine. Jesus is not God. And you're going to have to be able to say, wait, hold on a second. I read in the Bible. See, one day somebody's going to come to you and say, let me show you this magazine. Jesus and the devil, they're brothers. And you're going to have to go, wait a minute. I read in the Bible. See, one day somebody's going to come, they're going to try to deceive you, they're going to try to show, because, you know, and look, hey, one day I may try to teach you something that's not in this book. And you're going to have to just get in this Bible, read it every day, and see if those things are so. I'm trying to challenge you here. If I didn't make it clear, here's a challenge. Read your Bible daily. Grow up. Mature spiritually. Learn to discipline your life in a way where you schedule yourself out, where you have time for the Word, personally and with your family, and grow up. Because America's getting destroyed and our churches are being destroyed. Here's why. For lack of knowledge. Because we don't know what the Bible says. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you, Lord, for our church.